they were not hurt so badly as they thought. They will hardly have scars to show for it. That's good to know, I said, and started sipping at my cola and chomping down hot, steaming French fries. But what I'm really interested in, I said, is knowing why your blood was in Marconi's restaurant the night before the full moon. Tara took a hamburger patty off the bun and started nibbling on it, holding it in her fingers. Ask another time. No offense, I said, but I'm not so sure there's going to be another time, so tell me. Tara took another bite of meat and then shrugged. I knew that the pack that had harassed my fiancé was about. I deducted where they might strike and went there to attempt to stop them. All by yourself? Tara sniffed. Most of those people who turn themselves into wolves know little about being wolf wizard. But these had taken too much of the beast inside. I ran through the window glass and fought, but they outnumbered me. I left before I could be killed. And what about these kids? I said, nodding toward the back of the van. She glanced back at them, and for a moment I saw warmth and a pride gleaming in her eyes, subverting the remote alien lines of her face. Children, but with strong hearts. They wished to learn, and I taught. Let them tell their tale. Maybe later, I said, and finished off the French fries. Where are we going? To a safe place, to arm and prepare ourselves. Myself, I corrected her, to prepare myself. I'm not taking you with me. You are incorrect, Tara said. I am going with you. No. She fastened her amber eyes on mine. You are strong, wizard, but you have not yet seen my beast. The men you will oppose will take my fiancé from me. I will not allow that. I will be with you, or you will have to kill me to stop me. This time, it was me who looked away first. I sipped my drink, scowling, while Tara placidly ate more of hamburger patty. Who are you? I asked her finally. One who has lost too many of her family already, she said. And then she settled back on the seat and withdrew from the conversation, falling silent. One who has lost too many, I grumbled, frustrated, mocking her beneath my breath. I turned back to the front of the van and hunched my shoulders over my burger. Put some clothes on, you weird, yellow-eyed, table-dancing, werewolf-training, cryptic, stare-me-right-in-the-eyes and don't even blink, wench. There was a hissing sound from the back seat, and I flicked a scowl over my shoulder. Tara was chewing on her meat. Her eyes were shining, her mouth was curved at the corners, and her breath was puffing out of her nostrils in near-silent laughter. The safe place we were going to turned out to be a big house up near the Gold Coast, not far from Marconi's own mini-palace. The house wasn't large, but by the neighborhood standards, that was like saying that the bale of hay isn't much to eat, by elephant standards. Susan drove the van up through a break in the high hedge, up a long driveway of white concrete, and into the six-car garage, whose doors rolled majestically up before us. I got out of the van in the garage and stared at the Mercedes and the Suburban also parked there. Where are we? I said. Tara opened the door of the van, and Georgia, Billy, and the other young men emerged, assisting the two wounded werewolves out. Georgia stretched, which did interesting things to the dark bathrobe, and drew her mane of tawny hair back from her lean face with one hand. It's my parents' place. They're in Italy for another week. I rubbed a hand over my face. They aren't going to mind you having a party, are they? She flashed me an annoyed little look and said, Not as long as we clean up all the blood. Come on, Billy. Let's get these two inside and into bed. You go on, he said, fastening his eyes on me. I'll be along in a minute. Georgia looked like she wanted to give him an argument, but shook her head and, with the help of the other young man, helped the two invalids inside. Tara, still naked and supremely unconcerned about it, followed them, glancing back over her shoulder at me before she disappeared. Susan promptly stepped in front of me, somewhat obstructing the view, and said, 5 minutes, Dresden. Come and find me then. Was my rapier reply, and then Susan went into the house, too. I stood there in the dark with Billy, the stout, short kid in thick glasses. He had his hands stuffed into his bathrobe pockets, and he was peering at me. Do all wizards, he said, get kitty crowns and wear them around, or is it only for special occasions? Do all werewolves, I shot back, snatching the crown from my head, wear glasses and too much old spice, or is that only for full moons? He grinned at me, rather than taking umbrage. You're quick, he said. I always wanted to be that way. He stuck out his hand toward me. Billy Borden. I tried to grips with him wearily, and he tried to crush my hand in his. Harry Dresden, I told him. You look pretty beat up, Mr. Dresden, he said. Are you sure you can handle going out again tonight? No, I answered, in a spurt of brutal honesty. Billy nodded and pushed his glasses up higher onto his nose. Then you need our help. Oh, good grief. The Mickey Mouse Club of Werewolves wanted to throw in on my side. Werewolf taker roll call. Billy, Georgia, Tommy, Cindy. Sheesh. No way, I said. Absolutely not. Why not? He said. Look, kid, you don't even know what these Hexenwolfen can be like. You don't know what Marconi can be like, and you sure as hell have never seen anything like McFinn outside of a movie theater. And even if you had the skills to deal with it, what makes you think you have the right to be going along? Billy considered the question seriously. The same thing that makes you think you do, Mr. Dresden, he said. I opened my mouth and closed it again. I know I don't know a lot compared to you, Billy said, but I'm not stupid. I've got eyes. I see some things everyone else tries to pretend aren't there. This vampire craze sweeping the nation. Why the hell shouldn't there be some genuine vampires in it? Did you know that violent crimes have increased nearly 40% in the last 3 years, Mr. Dresden? Murder alone has doubled, particularly in heavy urban areas and isolated rural areas. Abductions and disappearances have gone up nearly 300%. I blinked at the kid. I hadn't really read the numbers. I knew that Murphy and some of the other cops said that the streets were getting worse, and I knew myself, on some deep level, that the world was getting darker. Hell, it was one of the reasons I did idiotic things like I was doing tonight, my own effort to lift up the torch. I'm sort of a pessimist, Mr. Dresden. I think that people are almost too incompetent to hurt themselves too badly. I mean, if criminals were trying, they couldn't increase their production by 300%. And I hear stories, read the tabloids sometimes. So what if the supernatural world is making a comeback? What if that accounts for some of what is going on? What if it does? I asked him. Billy regarded me steadily, without looking me in the eyes. Someone has to do something. I can. So I should. That's why we're here, the Alphas. Tara offered us a chance to do something when she met us through the Northwest Passage Project, and we took it. I stared at the kid. I could have argued with him, but there wouldn't be much point to it. I knew his argument, backward and forward. I worked it out myself. If I was 10 years younger, a foot shorter, and a couple of pounds heavier, that could have been me talking. And I had to admit, the kid did have power. I mean, turning yourself into a wolf is no cheap parlor trick. But I did have one angle to play, and I took it. I didn't want this kid's blood on my hands. I don't think you're ready for the big leagues yet, Billy. Could be, he said, but there's no one else in the bullpen. I had to give the kid credit. He had resolve. Maybe you should sit this one out and live to fight another day. It could all go bad, and if it does, those Hexenwolfen we took on down by the beach are going to be coming for you. Someone will need to stay with your wounded people and protect them. More likely, if they go through you, they're going to go through us, too. It would be smarter to pile on everything we've got in one place, with you. I chuckled. All your eggs in one basket? He shook his head. All the money on the most likely winner. I studied him in a silence for a long minute. I was confident of his sincerity. It just oozed out of him in a way that only the really inexperienced and idealistic can manage. It was comforting, and at the same time, it was the most frightening thing about him. His ignorance. No, not ignorance, really. Innocence. He didn't know what he was going out to face. If I let him go along, I'd be dragging him down with me. Despite what he'd seen tonight, I'd be exposing him to a whole new, violent, bloody, and dangerous world. One way or another, if I let Billy Borden and his buddies go with me, these innocent children wouldn't live to see the sunrise. But God help me, he was right about one thing. I needed the help. Everyone who's going takes orders from me, I said, and he drew in a sharp breath, his eyes gleaming. Not Tara. You do what I say, you do it when I say it. And if I tell you to leave, you go. No questions. You got it? I got it, Billy said, and he gave me a cocky grin that simply did not belong on the face of a geeky college nerd in a black bathrobe. You're a smart man, Mr. Dresden. I snorted at him. And just then, the automatic light on the garage door opener went out, leaving us in darkness. There was a disgusted sound from the doorway, and then the lights came on again. Georgia, in all her willowy, annoyed glory, was standing in the doorway to the garage. Billy Borden, she said. Don't you have any better sense than to stay here in the dark? She stalked out toward him, scowling. He looked up at her calmly and said, Tell everyone we're going along. Dresden's in charge. If they can handle that, they're in. And if not, they're staying here to guard Cindy and Alice. Georgia's eyes widened and she gave a little whoop of excitement. She turned toward me and threw her arms around me for a moment, making my shoulders scream in pain, and then whirled to Billy and bent down to do the same thing. He winced when she did, and she stood up and jerked back his black bathrobe, clearing it off to one side of his pale chest. To give the kid credit, his stoutness was the result of what looked like quite a bit of solid muscle, and along the line of his chest there was a thickly clotted wound, still trickling blood in a few places. What's this? Georgia said. You idiot. You didn't tell me you'd gotten hurt. Billy shrugged and pulled his robe straight again. It closed, and you can't bandage it and keep it on me when I change, anyway. Georgia clucked her teeth, annoyed. You shouldn't have gone for the hamstring on that wolf. He was too fast. Billy flashed her a grin. I almost got him, though. You almost got yourself killed, she said, but her voice had softened a few shades. I noticed that she hadn't moved her hand from the side of Billy's chest, and he was looking up at her with an expectant expression. She fell silent, and they stared at one another for a minute. I saw her swallow. Please help me. Young werewolves in love. I turned to walk into the house, moving carefully. I never much believed in God. Well, that's not quite true. I believed that there was a God, or something close enough to warrant the name. If there were demons, there had to be angels, right? If there was a devil, somewhere there had to be God. But he and I had never really seen things in quite the same terms. All the same, I flashed up a look at the ceiling. I didn't say any words, not even inside. But if God was listening, I hope he got the message nonetheless. I didn't want any of these children getting themselves killed.